This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 362. Today, Scott asks, when I ask questions on Facebook about writing and narrating, I get answers that don't answer the question, but serve the answerer's agenda. You've done a great job in this podcast of answering the questions being asked even when you go on a tangent. Is this a trait of your personality, background, training, or just some form of discipline that you exert?
Well, Scott, I would say it's a byproduct of something I had to learn in order to survive socially. I am, by nature, a little bit curmudgeonly, shall we say. I'm opinionated and disagreeable and grouchy. These thankfully aren't the only aspects of my personality. I'm also sociable and have, I am told, a good sense of humor. So it's sort of a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. But a lot of the things I'm interested in, you know, subjects of study, areas like philosophy and theology and sociology and politics and all that sort of stuff, these are areas in which there are no solid answers. I'm also really interested in things like science and history, where there are various degrees of confidence in very solid answers, and there's a technique for arriving at things. I've always had this propensity to take intuitive leaps, whether they're justified or not, epistemologically. I see something, it makes good sense to me, and I jump into it with both feet. And that's fairly common. It's actually sort of the way that humans reason. But in my case, it can be a bit deadly, because when I jump in with both feet, I buy the whole package. I don't just go, hey, I'm going to go over here for a while. I say, sounds good to me, let's redo the whole world so it looks like this. Which makes me, by temperament, prime target for cult recruiting and for con artists. And I've been taken a few times by each. And I'm not terribly proud of that. It also meant that when I was younger and I got taken in con artists and cults, I had very few resources to draw upon to pull myself out because I was so disagreeable, opinionated, and grouchy. I didn't have a lot of friends that were willing to stick around and whap me upside the head when I desperately needed it. Fortunately, I did have a couple, which is probably why I'm alive today. But for these reasons, in my mid-20s, I started getting really into epistemology, which is the philosophical study of how you can tell when you know something versus when you just believe it or think it or suspect it. And that sort of thing. And one of the first things you learn about when you study epistemology is cognitive biases. And you learn why people make intuitive leaps like we do and why some people learn psychology with it. And I was in the middle of a psych degree at the time, so that really helped me with this particular intellectual journey. When you combine it with psychology, you learn how very, very limited human perception is. Not just biologically, but socially and in terms of cognitive biases that creep in that are very useful in ancestral environments. A great one is the hyperactive agency detection. It is natural, basic mammal psychology, all mammals, that if that tree over there moves, I'm out walking about with trees right now. If that tree next to me moves, it is natural. If I cannot see everything around me, if it's dark like it is now, it's the natural intuition to assume that there is a tiger over there, or a predator, a mountain lion in the current environment I'm in right now. Assume there's a mountain lion or a coyote over there and get the hell out of Dodge the other way as fast as possible. Why is this the natural assumption? Because if I assume that, and it's true, I've saved my life, and I live to pass on my genes. If I assume that, and it isn't true, hasn't cost me anything, I still live to pass on my genes. But if I assume that it's just the wind, and it's actually a mountain lion or a coyote, I'm lunch, and I don't survive to pass on my genes. And there's a cumulative effect of that over hundreds of thousands or millions of generations of mammalian ancestry that programs that proclivity, that particular propensity towards a cognitive error, to attribute intent to things which aren't driven by intent. That means that humans, all humans, are more likely to assume malice than they are to assume that the universe is indifferent to them. And you can see that when you look around the culture. Someone disagrees with you, what's the first thing you do? They must be evil. They must want to hurt me or someone I care about. It's a really good survival strategy in an ancestral environment, maybe in a tribal environment. It's not a good survival strategy in a fairly trustworthy culture. In fact, it'll erode the culture. That's an example of one of the cognitive biases we've got. There's a whole bunch that we have. And in studying them, I started to realize that if I wanted to have a coherent picture of life, or anything resembling a coherent picture of life, that wasn't simply limited to my moment-to-moment experience and the gestalt experience I can accumulate through reading books and that sort of thing, then I needed a better understanding of the limits of my own cognition. And so I developed it aggressively. And in so doing, I arrived at an approach to life and learning and truth that's very tentative and hedged with, equivocation's not the right word, with nuance. I still have very strong opinions about things. But as odd as it sounds, I don't assume my opinions are correct. I just assume that my opinions are the best I can do right now. And so I'm always looking for countervailing evidence. Now, about the same time, about my mid-20s, I started to notice that I had another interpersonal problem that was from sources other than my tendency to be an opinionated jackass. And that was that, like most people, this is another one of those manifestations of the attribution of intent. Like most people, when I got into a fight with someone, it turned personal really fast. And it never helped. I had relationships that would go boom, right? Yeah, there would be a small argument and there would be boom, recriminations on both sides, anger, that sort of thing. And I could never figure out what was going on until I was reading some Eastern philosophy and, for reasons I can't even remember, Eastern business strategy books. And one of the management rules I came across in Japanese business strategy books was paraphrased in the English translation as fix the problem, not the blame. It doesn't matter who's wrong. It doesn't matter who's screwed up. What matters is that something is screwed up. So you figure out what's wrong and you fix it. You don't worry about who's wrong. If someone is consistently wrong, they'll show you by leaving a trail of what's wrongs in their wake. And then you learn that maybe that person isn't someone you want to have close in your life. Maybe you want to keep them out at arm's distance. But it's the what's that actually cause life to go crazy. And the more important reason I discovered, because I was studying psychology at the time, that this rule is very wise, is that people don't react well when you assume that they've got bad intentions, even when they actually have bad intentions. If you treat people as if they have good intentions, even when they don't, if you're willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're making an honest effort by whatever standards honest effort is in their particular cognitive world, you're more likely to get good results out of a conversation with them or a negotiation with them or whatnot. Doesn't mean you don't keep one eye out for evidence that they're trying to screw with you or screw you over, but you approach them open-handed and you try to deal honestly and you try to deal with respect. And if you do those things, most of the time, you get much better results out of people, and you certainly get much more healthily functioning relationships. So these things all came together about the right time, made for a profound shift in the direction of my life and my entire life experience. Went from having very few friends to having some very long-term, good, rewarding friendships. I went from having a very stormy romantic partnership to having a very stable one. It made a huge difference in my life. And that's the kind of philosophy I bring towards these questions. I come with the awareness that I'm a very limited individual with a very limited scope of knowledge and experience. And that would be true even if I were the most knowledgeable, experienced person on the planet. And I'm not. Not even the most knowledgeable or experienced writer on the planet. I'm not even the most knowledgeable, experienced writer with a podcast on the planet. I'm just a guy with some opinions. So when people send in a question, I assume that that person is asking the question because they want an answer. And they have honored me by allowing me to attempt to help. So I view it sort of as my obligation to understand as best I can what the question being asked is, and to answer the question as best I can without fooling them into thinking that I think I know more than I do, or that my approach will work for everybody. Because it won't. Different people have different temperaments. Different tools will work for them. Some of the things I say will work really well for some of you, not for others, and vice versa. Occasionally, there's going to be someone in the audience listening for whom everything I say seems to fit really well. It's not because I am the wisest guy on the planet. It's because the person listening has a temperament very similar to mine, or a set of values very similar to mine. And so what I say makes intuitive sense. And if you're that person, A, it's great to have you around, and B, keep your skeptical hat on and look for other opinions as well, because you will learn more by being challenged than you will by being agreed with. And in the writing business, as far as I can tell, one of the reasons I gravitated towards it, the challenge and the learning is the whole ball of wax. This is a communications business. We're all about sharing our experience, whether that experience is shared in nonfiction or in metaphorical ways through fiction, our experiences, our thoughts, our consciousness. We're sharing that with each other, and in doing so, we're creating culture as we go. That's a noble effort. It's a desperately important part of being human. And I really dig that. And so my sincere hope is that whether I give you the answer you want or not, whether I give you an answer that's helpful or not, I at least give you an answer that addresses the issues you raised, so that even if it doesn't wind up working out for you, it may lead you on to something that does. It may be a stumbling step in the direction of a solution, even if that stumbling step is to stumble in an opposite direction I've suggested, because the direction I've suggested sounds awful to you. And that's why when I answer questions, I go into the discursion and I unpack my thought processes, because I don't want to be the prophet dictating from on high. I want to be someone who lays out a process of thinking so that you can spot where the errors are and take from it what might be useful to you and leave the rest. So it's probably the most personal question I've gotten so far, but I think it was a good one. Thanks for asking it. I had a lovely time answering it, and I hope it's useful to you in some sense or another. Anyway, I will see all of you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.